Well, we'll pray before we're seated. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you tonight that you love us. We thank you tonight that we're in relationship with you, that we have the privilege of fellowship with you. Father, how awesome it is to know that we belong to you, even though we're in a world where there's evil on every hand, where there are sick people doing sick things. We're so thrilled tonight that our life is hid with you in Christ, that it's in you that we live, in you that we move. It's in you that we have our very being tonight. We're thankful that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And Jesus prayed that you would keep us from the evil of this world. And we thank you for doing that, that you so carefully guard us and protect even our lives. See to it that nothing shall by any means hurt us. We're grateful for that tonight. And Father, we look to you to make yourself known to us tonight, to reveal your word to us, to speak to us in new and fresh ways, to help us to see what we haven't seen, help us to hear what we haven't heard tonight. Father, thank you for doing this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Yeah, I just want to add my plug for Ed Elliott that's going to be here on Sunday to not only yourself come and enjoy him, but there are people that, I mean, that don't know God at all that might not, you know, be too thrilled about coming to church. But I can guarantee if they came to hear Ed, they would really enjoy him because he is not like religious in the least. And not only that, he's not even very churchy. He's kind of funny. Sometimes I wonder if he's about to cuss or something. Just because he's just this, the kind of ministry that he has and the way that he lives. He's just like a frontline minister. And he just loves to go and go into places where people, where the gospel's never been taken, and just share God's love with people. And he goes in to a lot of people that are not church people at all, and just God uses them to share the gospel with them. And so you and a whole lot of other people that you know that wouldn't like to come to church would really enjoy hearing him on Sunday morning and then Sunday night at 7. Praise God. Well, tonight I was going to go in one direction, and I kept getting drawn back to what we talked about last week. So I just want to talk again about what we talked about last week, which was worship. Y'all remember last week? I know probably there are some people that weren't here last week, because Frank and Rhonda weren't here. So just for you guys, y'all weren't here last week. I told the story last week. I started off by telling the story about a man that I met that was a missionary in Hong Kong and how God had blessed him and had brought into his hands just recently $1.25 million to build some property. And he was given this property, very valuable property, to build this rehab center for drug addicts that the Lord had led him to build. And the way the whole thing came in his hand was supernaturally. And he'd gotten up one morning to tell us a little bit about what his ministry was doing and all. And then he said that the next morning he was going to share for 15 minutes, that Jim had asked him to share for 15 minutes, and he was going to tell us the secret of how he had received this, you know, really large donation and how God had blessed him. And so we're all on the edge of our seat like, no, tell us now. And he's like, no, I'll tell you tomorrow. So he gets up and he did tell us, which I was so grateful for, because sometimes people don't actually tell you what they tell you that they're going to tell you. But anyway, he did. And he told us that the key in his life, not just for receiving that, but receiving everything from God and what had really given his ministry longevity and enabled him to walk with the Lord and be a missionary in Hong Kong for 53 years, was that he had learned to worship God, and every day he worshiped God. And, you know, on the surface you go, well, that's like not that big of a deal, you know. I worship God. How many of you think, hey, yeah, I worship God? We all do, because we all sing, you know. So we all say, yeah, we worship God. But we talked about it last week, about what worship is, and I've just been delving around in this subject and thinking about it and talking about it. And I read to you last week the scripture from John chapter 4, and I read a lot of it last week, but today I'm just going to read from starting at verse 23. It's Jesus, he's talking to the woman at the well, and they're having an exchange there, and some things are being said, and he says to her, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And many times, I have to tell you, I've read that and just glossed right on over it. Like many things we read in the Bible, we've read them before, we're familiar with the wording, and so we just read them and go on by. But he said that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And we talked about last week what worship meant, and that really the most literal rendering of the word is kiss, to kiss. And there's the idea of kissing toward. There's the idea of adoration. But one real prominent idea in the word that's translated worship is kissing like a dog would kiss or lick its master's hand. And, you know, in this case, you're the dog. just so you know in this picture who you are, you're the dog. And anyway, right after you got the microphone there, right after service, Kimberly came up and told me something that I just wanted her to share quickly. You look like you're real thrilled to get up and share this, but anyway, she just told me something that I just had to share with you tonight because it was so interesting. I've thought about it all week and talked about it, so might as well let you share it.
A friend of mine told me, I'm a dog person, an animal person, but a friend of mine told me that there was a study done on animals, and especially on dogs, that whenever, you know, you come home and they're, like Susie talked about, her dogs just want to lick her to death and lick her face, and they're all over you, and they're so excited to see you. Like, and they did a study, and the same stuff that's released in your brain, in human brains, whenever we fall in love for the first time, whenever we fall in love, that's the same thing that dogs experience every single time they see their owner after you've, like, gone for an hour or, you know, gone all day for work. And every time they walk in and they see you, it's like they're falling. It's those same endorphins, and they fall in love with you, that same thing. And when she was talking about worship and how that applied to God, I thought, isn't that wonderful that if we could do that, if we could just fall in love every single time that we come before Christ, every single time we fall in love with our Heavenly Father.
Yeah, amen. Wasn't that good? Makes you look at your dog in a little different way. But but it was a perfect explanation of why they get so excited when we just come in. We're like, why are you so excited? You know me, you've seen me, you've smelled me before. But and then taking that and applying that, I like that idea a lot better than just licking the master's hand. I like that idea that when we come into his presence, you know, that we're experiencing something. And obviously for our dogs, those of you who have dogs that go crazy like ours, something's going on with them. You know, you look at them and you go, what is going on with you? Why are you so excited? You know, why are you trying to lick me like this? What is happening? There's something that's bringing this response in the dog. And from this study, they found out it's because the chemicals being released, this dog has, you know, is experiencing something. And in that same way, when we worship God and we enter into his presence, we really have that. We are experiencing something. We should experience something. It's something good, something enjoyable. The dog likes it, you know. And so in that same way, we should experience something and being in enjoying it. Worship is not a drudgery. It's not it's something that's good. And you get good endorphins. Do you understand that? That was so wonderful. And so that's the picture of worshiping, is that as we come into his presence and we worship him, when we come into that place of fellowship with him, that we are really kissing towards him and reverencing him. We're adoring him. That's a good word. I like that word, adoring. Not just loving, but adoring. There's a difference between loving and adoring. Like I said last week, there's plenty of people you would tell them you love them, but not many people you would tell them you adore them. Isn't that true? I mean, I love all y'all, but I don't adore all of you. Oh, excuse me. I'm kidding. No, it's true, though. Let's just be real. No, adore, you know, I mean, there's very few people you really adore. You know what you're saying? And when I think of people that I adore, the first thoughts that come to my mind are my kids. And I know those of you who have kids probably feel the same way. You just can't even describe I'm like the dog going, whenever my kids come home, you know. The other night, Grayson had his, now I'm going to tell y'all, I am a nasty person. Grayson put his foot up on the counter. It was right by me, and it's all right there. And I was looking at it, was playing with it, touching it. And they're going, gross, that you shouldn't be touching that foot. And I said, oh, I love Grayson so much, I'd lick it. And I licked his foot. Isn't that gross? And I didn't even care. But that's how I would, you know, it's just like you have to stop yourself from just slobbering on them because you just love them so much. It's an adoration. It's something, it's gross, isn't it? It's funny, they get real big and you still feel that way about them. I don't know. It's really strange, but that shows me how much God loves me, because he's a lot better with kids than I am. He has more, you know, he cares more for us than we do for our kids. But there's that idea that of reverence, too, that we revere him. And like I said many times last week, worship is not about singing. And worship can happen with music or with, it's certainly scriptural. Music is scriptural. Singing is certainly scriptural. I'm not saying it's not. But just because you sang doesn't mean you worshiped. And just because you came to church during the time that they call worship and stood there and moved your lips and even a sound came out doesn't mean you worshiped. Worship is about the heart. It's not an outward behavior. It's not about, how you act, an act. It's not lip service. Worship doesn't happen. Real, true worship doesn't happen until you turn your heart towards God. And Jesus said here, it has to do with the Spirit. You do it in the Spirit and in truth. And so in the Spirit, it's from the heart. That's where your spirit is in here. It's from the heart. And it really, it's from the center of your being. It's from your whole being. Not just from your flesh, or you have your hands up. This is certainly a step in the right direction. But this in itself is not all that worship is. It's from the heart. This is the outside. It should reflect what's going on the inside, not just be alone. This is all you're doing. The inside. And it's not a mechanical act. It's not just what your mind, your mind is singing words. It's from your heart. And it's not about ceremony or tradition. It's about your heart. That's the Spirit. And then the truth is, like I said last week, of course, it's in line with the Word. That's the truth. But it's being real and honest and open and authentic. And you're not holding anything back. It's being truthful and true, and that it's really what's in your heart, and, transparent. In fact, in the Amplified, it says, in reality, those that worship him in spirit and in truth, in reality, that it's really what you're doing, not just a put-on, a fake, something you're feigning or making up or just trying to make an appearance of such. The Bible has a lot to say about us doing things for the sake of appearance, and it's not a good thing. Talks about that in several. We could do a whole message about all the things the Bible talks about that you put on that it's not pleasing to God. But this is one of the things. You don't just put on worship and pretend and act like when it's not, he's looking for, what he's looking for is something from the heart and something that's real and true. Now, I talked about how in worship there's a coming together, and I'm not going to spend a great deal of time going back over that, but I talked about the coming together and the intimacy of worship. It's an exchange. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time of sharing. It's not one-sided. It's not just you there and God, he's got something else on his mind he's doing. No, it's an exchange. It's you fellowshipping with him, and even in worship he talks to you, it's not you being the yapping dog going yip 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 yip. No, it's when the owner turns his attention and there's a fellowship. But I want to tell you, the fellowship between man and God is much more intimate than between man and a dog, okay? But anyway, there's that intimacy that's there, and there's an exchange that's happening, and a sharing of hearts and thoughts and ideas, and just appreciation and a loving exchange that's happening. That's all going on in worship. And during that time, we're being blessed. But he's being blessed because he's getting to share with you, which is the, who he adores. And so it's we have his attention, and he has our attention. So it's just a really wonderful time. Tonight I want to bring out something else. So if you will turn your Bible over to Deuteronomy 28, I want to show you something I don't think we've ever talked about before, and I think it'll help you. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Any of y'all familiar with Deuteronomy 28? What is Deuteronomy 28 about?
The blessings.
Yeah. Well, there's also, if you read far enough, Eddie, you'll find curse. Eddie doesn't like to read past verse 14 because he just wants the blessing. But in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." And now here's where those blessings are enumerated. It starts out, "Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks." It's talking about all your businesses. Remember on Sundays, Matt's been talking about being fruitful. Well, it's talking about being fruitful and multiplying right here. Verse 5, blessed shall be your basket, your kneading bowl. You'll have plenty to eat. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he's sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Well, that's good. Plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, or to go after other gods and serve them. Now you're thinking, what does any of this have to do with worship? Well, I think you'll find this very interesting. Do y'all see down in verse 3, what's the first word in verse 3? And what's the first word in verse 4? And what's the first word in verse 5? And the verse 6, first word? Y'all see that? Blessed. You see that? Now, here is what's interesting. When I think of the word blessed, if I think about being blessed and I read this, I think that means God's got good things for me. He's benevolent towards me. He's generous. I have favor with him. Isn't this what you think about blessed? Do you know that this word blessed doesn't mean that? Now, certainly it has that idea of that you'll enjoy things and all, but when you get down to the very root of this word, it doesn't mean that. When you get to the root of this word means, listen, to kneel. K-N-E-E-L, to kneel. This word blessed means to kneel. When it says blessed, this is the picture right here. Isn't that odd? Because I thought it meant God just heaps all these good things on me. Can you see me, Frank? I'm on my knees, kneeling. K-N-E-E-L-I-N-G. Thank you, sir. Kneeling. Isn't that weird? This is what it means, kneel, to kneel. Now, how does that make any sense that they get blessed, this whole idea of blessing out of this? Well, it really opens it up and makes it rich when you start looking at it, because what is kneeling? Humbling? Submitting? If you were to kneel in front of someone, what would we say? You must have honor for that person. Do what? Adore? Worship? Wouldn't this be a picture of worship, you know? It would be adoration. It would be, you know, humbling yourself, submitting. It would be lowering yourself. It would be, you know, you just look at that. Isn't that interesting? That's all in to kneel. Now, so let's just kind of delve into this a little bit. He says, blessed shall you be in the city, saying this to kneel. Well, how do you get a blessing out of kneeling? Well, you remember last week, and I just mentioned it here earlier, as we worship God, there's something that's happening as we worship God. It's not just a ceremony. It's not just a tradition. It's not just a vain practice. It's not just something that we are doing because we're supposed to do it. There's something happening when we are worshiping God. And there as we mingle with him and as we fellowship with him and share with him, he's sharing with us. And as we lower ourselves, we talked about this last week, part of the whole idea of worship is submitting yourself. When you think of, you know, of someone worshiping, it's all those things we just said. You're lowering yourself. You're humbling yourself. We talked about this last week. Well, in humbling yourself before God, in kneeling to him, and kneeling isn't just about your knees. We're talking about the heart. You would worship him from your heart. You would humble yourself in your heart. Now, this is, God looks on the heart, people. It's nothing about the outside. We get so caught up in the outside. The outside should follow the inside, But God's not looking on the outside. And just because you're kneeling on the outside doesn't say anything about your heart on the inside. He's looking at the heart. Is the heart kneeling? And that's placing yourself in a position of being submitted to Him. Lowering yourself, coming under Him. You are recognizing, as you kneel before Him, you are recognizing, you are my Lord, my Master. You are my God. And in worship and doing that, as you kneel before Him, there is a blessing that comes on you. And that's what this is talking about. You are, when you worship, you are coming into a place of obedience. And so here you are in kneeling before Him. Here's the idea here. As we kneel before God, now again, it's not just you getting on your knees. It's about you living your life submitted to Him. It's about coming under His rule and authority. It's about you. Again, this is about you living before Him. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Not my will, but your will be done. That's worship. You're my God. You're the great, you know, there is none before you. You only do I serve. This is worship. And as you do that, and not just on the outside, not just from the lips, but from the heart, and you live that out, something just really wonderful happens. What begins to happen in your life is that things around you begin to change in your life. Your very life begins to change. And you know what happens? Things come upon you and overtake you. Good things. We call them blessings. And we experience all these things that I just read to you. The living experience of this. We live out the experience. We actually, in reality, see His goodness in our lives. Now, it says, blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. That means that I'm submitted to God in the city, that I'm worshiping Him and living before Him humbly and under His dominion in the city, and I'm doing it in the country. See, this is so far different than I come to church and sing. Do you understand? This has almost nothing to do with coming to church and singing. Certainly, when you're at church singing, you should worship God. But what I'm trying to convey to you in these messages is that when the Bible talks about worship and what really God wants you to experience and what I, you know, the Bible is trying to get over to us, is it's so much beyond just you understand? This is about your life, living your life in worship to Him. And that's what the guy Charles was telling us when we were, you know, over in Australia, and he was telling us what had happened in his life and how he had really begun to experience so much of God's goodness in his life, and is to the point that his needs were being swallowed up, and he was experiencing really things beyond what he could ever imagine were happening to him. And it's because he had learned to live in this place I'm talking about of kneeling, this place of submission, this place of actually spending time in the city, in the country, in the field, you know, whatever he's doing, spending time on purpose, humbling himself before God, that, in, you know, coming into a place of intimacy and sharing with God and letting God share with him. Do y'all see this? And in there, there's something happening, and it's God working in him and through him. Y'all, this is what God wants to do for all of us. This is his plan. This has always been his plan for us. And we've lived so far beneath it. And we've missed so much of God's goodness, what he has for us. We've missed it. Now, I have to tell you, when I was meditating on this and I was seeing this word, blessed, means to kneel, I was thinking about someone approaching, you know, the greatest king who ever was, approaching that king and being called before that king and coming to make an approach and then kneeling before that king, and that person finding great favor in the sight of that king, and that king saying, you know, here, my kingdom's open to you. That's what this blessed means. Here he is. He is the greatest of all. He has it all. He is all. He made it all. And we have great favor with him. And as we come before him and we submit ourselves, we worship him. All of his goodness is bestowed upon us. All of his goodness. Now here, let's flip over for just a moment to Ephesians chapter 3. Excuse me, Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, because I just want to Sometimes I feel like I just have to say this because people can go the other way and get all messed up. I want to tell you something. Tonight, we are not trying to get blessed. And that I always feel like I have to stop and say that, that we're not trying to get blessed. We already have God's favor. We're not trying to get God's favor. We're not trying to get God to do something good. He's already made all that available to us in Christ. In fact, it says here in Ephesians, I wanted to read this verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now, this word blessed here means that word that we think it means. It means to cause to prosper, to make happy, to bestow blessings on, to be favored of God. So all that has, we have been blessed with all the favor of God, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Christ. So in Christ, all of that belongs to us. All the blessing of God belongs to us. But the way that it becomes a living reality in our lives, because all of us know that God has blessed us more than we've experienced. Am I the only one that hasn't experienced what I know, the fullness of what God has for me? Do you know God has more blessing for you than what you... Am I the only... Certainly. There's so much more goodness that I haven't experienced. That's already mine, that God's made available to me. But what I'm seeing is this, that as I worship God, more and more of that becomes a reality in my life. When I submit myself, in other words, this right here is the place where his blessing is just flowing here. It's just flowing. He's already poured it out. He's already got it. He's got it, is coming down. And if I would just get myself under that spot, if I would just move into submission to him, if I would, it's a word we used a lot last week, yield. If I would yield to him, not my will, but your will be done. You're a great God. You're greater than I am. And live that way and actually think that way. If your word says it, that's a better plan than the plan I had. If you tell me by your spirit, that's a better plan than what it was I was wanting to do. See, that's all part of worship. And as I do that, there's great blessing. And I'll see more and more and more of his blessing. I see it here in the word. And then I have, you know, I have people who bear witness of it in their own lives, that as they have become more and more into a place of worship and submission to God and spending time in his presence and letting him move within them and talk with them. And do y'all know what I'm talking about? In that place of worship, that they've experienced more and more and more of his goodness. That's become a living reality and not just something that we know is ours, but something we're actually experiencing for ourselves in a place of worship. So it belongs to us. We're not trying to get it. We're not trying to earn it in any way. I don't want to leave you with that idea that you're trying, that if you'll worship God, you'll earn something from him. It's not at all what you're doing. It already belongs to you. His favor is already there and it's already upon you. What I want us all to do is just turn our hearts towards him. What I want us to do is just begin to look to him in a greater way. Just to begin to fellowship with him more. And as we do, so many of these things that we've been missing out on will begin to flow and work in our lives. We're giving him a place and giving him room. Do y'all see what I'm saying?
Yep.
All right, well, let's move along. It says we yield to him that we experience more and more of his blessing in actual manifestation in our lives. And as we yield to him, as we worship, we make room and we open the door for him to work in us. Now, I want to read to you two more passages. One of them is in Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to read it to you in the New Living. Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 12, it says this. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, and he says this, and it's really good for us today. He says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you." So he's talking to people who had been really in fellowship with him. They had followed his instruction. And he says, "Now that I'm away, it is even more important." And listen to this. "Work hard to show the results of your salvation." He doesn't say work hard to get salvation, because we know you can't earn salvation. It's ours. And all the benefits of salvation have been bestowed upon us through Jesus. But he said, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Look what he goes on to say. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Now, I have to tell you this verse, this particular, this last part right here. I love, love, love this verse. I've read it to you many times. We've talked about this verse. I quote this verse. I pray this verse. For God is working in you. I cling to this verse. It encourages me, y'all. Does that encourage you? This encourages me because some days I feel like, you know, I don't have any ability to please him or anybody else. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You see that? But it's so interesting that the words that come right before this, the very words are these words. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. That's worship. Reverence. Obedience to God. You can't really be worshiping God if it's not in your heart to obey him. If you aren't living with the intention of obeying God, if you don't have your heart turned towards him and you're at, you know, ready, whatever he says to you, you'll do it. You're not really living in worship. You're not really worshiping God. It's just saying, God, you know, I love you. You're worthy. You're a great and mighty God. We worship you. We adore you. That's not really worship if your heart isn't behind it. If your heart's not saying, you know, I mean, you can say God is a great God, but the reality is if he's not greater than you in your life, if he's not greater than your will, he's not greater than your plan, then he's really not great, no matter what you say. You can say he's great, but he's not great if you don't actually make him great in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? We sing God is great, but the reality is for many of us, God is not actually great in our lives. There's a whole lot of things that are greater. Ouch. It's true. All of us at one point or another have been in that place where really what we want to do is much greater than what God wants us to do. But we can sing all day, God is great. And he is, in fact, great. But it's not just that, you know, his plan, his desire has never been just to be great. Because why did he need us? Just to be great. He was great. He wants to be great to us. He wants to be great in us. He wants to be great for us. He wants to be great through us. And see, that's all up to us. That's up to us and our will and our willingness to worship. Are we going to really open ourselves, yield ourselves to him, align our heart with his heart, and really just let him have his way in us? Now see, we come in here. Last week I told you there are people in here with really serious issues. We come in here, you know, however often you show up. I come twice a week unless I'm in the, you know, in another country. Unless I'm on the bottom side of the world, I'm in here pretty much twice a week at least. So here we are. We come in here and we come in here. We all have various things. We all have lives. Some of us have mates. Some of us are more fond of our mates than others. We all have, we all have needs in our lives. We all have bodies that get out of whack every now and then that we have to, you know, get them straightened back out. We all have relationships of all kinds that we deal with. A lot of us have jobs and people we work with in the way. Some of us are students and we deal with situations. I mean, you just think of all the stuff we deal with. And then we come in here and we have, you know, we have these, any given service, there's no telling what's going on with people. Torment in people's minds. Some people really happy. Some people really, you know, just barely made it here. People frustrated. Oh, I forgot about frustration. Lord, people are frustrated. People are scared because there's so much happening. There's so much change. We're dealing with all these things. And we come to church. Well, if nowhere else, we should be able to worship at church. If nowhere else, even if you can't get any worship done anywhere else in your life, it's an invitation every time you come in here to just say, I'm going to take this moment. I'm going to turn my heart towards the Lord. I'm gonna reaffirm that you actually are Lord. You're not just my Savior. You're my Lord. I'm gonna reaffirm that you are smarter than me. That you're the help I need, and whatever it is you'll tell me to do, I'll do it. And that thing you've been telling me to do for a long time that I haven't done, I want to do it. If you'll help me, I'll do it. I'm going to do it. That's worship. And reverencing Him. I mean, every time we come in here, I'm not saying don't do it anywhere else, but maybe you should just start when you come in here. And I think if we would do that, a lot of the issues, problems, situations that we're all dealing with would immediately start getting better. They may not totally, completely get fixed in a moment, but that's the starting place, isn't it? Submitting to Him? Isn't this the starting place? I mean, part of what this means is, I've come to the end of me. I mean, when you fall on your knees, that's saying something. You know, I don't know. How often at work do you fall on your knees? If you're doing that like three times a week, we need to talk. You have some real issues. This is the place of, I've come to the enemy. I know where my help comes from. It comes from the Lord. And so I need help. But what gets me the help I need is my willingness to follow, to obey, my willingness to yield to You. And that's where worship is, man. I'm yielding to You. Do you see that? And so it's in there, as I'm yielding to Him, there, then I can receive what this verse says. When I'm in that position, how hard is it? How difficult then would it be? If I'm wide open to Him, I'm kneeling. And again, I'm not talking about just on the outside. I'm not talking about even doing it on the outside. It's what's going on in here. If this is what's going on in here, if what you see on the outside is what's going on the inside, I'm wide open to Him. And I'm, you know, my life is kneeling before Him. How easy then would it be for Him to actually do verse 13 in my life? Well, see, I'm wide open to His power to come in and work in my life. Because I have to tell you, for all of us, whatever's going on in our lives, we all need to change. All of us, we need to change. We do. And it says here, He is working in us. Well, for some of us, He's just working a teeny tiny bit. Not that He doesn't want to work a lot more, but that's all that we're giving Him room to work. But the more reverence, the more obedience that we have, the more room He has to work in us. And so as He works in us, what does He do? He starts changing our desires. Oh, that's good. Because once your desires start changing, then you start wanting what He wants. And that's a whole lot better than just having to go along and you don't want to do it. Any of y'all ever obeyed God and you didn't want to? I have. It's a lot better when you do it and you want to do it. But that's something that's going to happen as He works in us. Because just your natural self is not going to want what God wants. Because like Matt talked about on Sunday, we're living in a system that's opposed to God. And we're let's be honest, most Christians are living under that system and are following the God of Mammon. Let's just be real. It's the truth. That's what in the city and in the field that we're doing. We're living for the God of Mammon in the city and then for the God of Mammon in the field. And every now and then we make a pit stop in Him. We put our hands up, some of us. And we sing a few words and we, you know, glad slap a few people and give a few hugs And out we go again. Out, back out to serve Mammon. But the more that we yield to Him and the more that we're open to Him, He will give us the desire. And I can tell you, look, I'm not the only one here. Tell me that your desires haven't changed as you've worshiped God over the years. Gary? Brenda? Now, can I pick on you for a minute, Brenda? Brenda, for years of her life, was a bartender at the Green Jacket and probably a lot of other places. All the honky tonks. She will tell you crazy stories. Crazy stories that are true. But that's not who Brenda is anymore. And that's not who she, I mean, at that time she loved it. That was where her desire was. But that's not where her desire is now. Her desire has changed. All of us, our desires have changed. Our lives have changed. God has changed us. He has worked in us. Just think what he's done in you in 3 years. The work that he's done in us. But didn't it, Gary? Didn't you have to kneel? Didn't you have to lower yourself? Didn't you have to, and you didn't even recognize that all those days you were being confronted and you were wrestling with what in the world you were having to say, no, there's somebody greater than me that's working here. And I'm not my will, but your will be done. And I'm lowering myself here. All of us. There's not one of us in here that's immune to this. Not one of us in here that's got this all sewed up and took care of. None of us. We're all still called to, and we all are still desperately in need of this. And that's worship. Every day, every morning. And it happens in, like I said, it happens in music, but it happens in whispers. It happens in just conversing with him, heart to heart talking all day. That's worship. And when we get to sing with others, we get to enjoy it, but that's not the beginning of it and the end of it. That's just a little part where we can do that with others. And then finally, I'm going to read these verses. It's very similar over in Hebrews 13. And the writer of Hebrews wrote something similar. Again, I'm going to read in the New Living. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen." Boy, that's good, isn't it? Isn't that a good verse? May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. Now, it's interesting here, he's writing to people who have already received Jesus. So this is something that I just read to us, the verses we're going to be working out our salvation. There are things that as we yield to him, he continues to add to us. They've all been made available and purchased through Jesus. It's not what we're going to earn them, but he wants to add them to you. He wants to equip you with them. He wants to just go back, bring that verse back up. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. That means for walking in love. That means for being the wife that he wills for you to be. It means for you being the employee or the employer that you need to be. Everything, the minister that he's called you to be, everything that he's called you to be, he will equip you with all you need for doing his will. And not only that, he's going to produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that's pleasing to him. And then what does he do? The writer. What are the next words? All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Do you see that? There's something we've missed, y'all. We've missed really great benefit in worshiping God and living a life of worship. And, you know, having our hearts towards him and having our knees, you know, again, the knees in here. Our knees, you know, being on our knees before him in our hearts, that it's, you know. There's a really good message that's coming, that's not tonight, but it's coming in the next few weeks, that's going to tie together tonight and what we're studying in our School for Life class and what Matt's preaching on Sunday morning. And I so much would just love to have it tonight, but we can't. But it is a great message. Try to get it yourself. Oh, it's good. But this is a part of it. You got to have this part. You got to have this. But I'm telling you, when you get all them together, it's great. You're going to get it. Not if I get it first. It's going to be great. God is working in us. You see this? So we're going to end right there, this last verse I had to read. Isn't that a great verse? You should just write that verse down. May he equip you with all you need. When's he going to equip us? Remember, I told you there's that exchange that takes place as we worship. When I'm worshiping God, he's equipping me with all I need. It's not just some vain words I'm singing or that I'm saying or just quoting or just some ritual. No, something is happening. As I adore him, he's equipping me. As I worship him, he's producing something in me. Praise God. Let's stand up. Let's stand tonight.